Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of
The Bus Factor.
Dun, dun, dun. Today, Hugh has abandoned us, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on your point of view. And we have Dave in the office.
Yay.
You can see Carol on Twitter, yeah.
Hey.
He's glad to be here. He's excited that Hugh's away. It was very quiet in the office today, wasn't it?
Yeah, I've got some, there's a bit of sickness going around, a bit of on-site stuff.
Yeah, it feels like a lot of people have been sick lately, actually. Though, maybe that's stopped now. I don't know. I mean, someone's still sick, but it just feels like it's not as bad as it could be. You know what? I actually get a better view on the camera than I do with my eyes.
Yeah.
I can't actually see any.
Because it's about another sort of meter in front of us out the window.
It's pretty decent.
I'm just looking. I can't actually. I need to, go to another window and, stand on my tippy toes to actually get a similar looking view.
Yeah, I can't. I've just realized I can't even see the light from where I normally stand. I have to, stick my head up.
Well, where I'm currently standing, I can't actually see the light or anything. So I actually need to.
Yeah, it's big pillars involved.
Yeah.
Hi, go to Patreon watching as well. Oh, okay. Thank you to our Patreons. We do guarantee that a bus will go past for every Patreon listening. Oh, there's my Beagles now. See him there? Standing at the lights, he's going through. Yes, I think that's yours. So if you do want to see a bus go past, I do recommend you sign up for Patreon.
Yeah, the more Patreons, the more buses that we have to guarantee to go past.
Exactly. Please don't have 10,000 people sign up because the show will go really long then. But you know what? Actually, do it. We can just leave it on overnight. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. How has the news been this week? How's it been?
The tech news has been a little bit flat this week.
It has been. Yeah, I feel like we've got a few items on the list that I think came from last week and a few that aren't exactly tech news and it's just kind of a... Oh, you know what we didn't put down? The CERT quarterly report came out.
Oh, yep. CERT quarterly report came out.
I didn't read it. I've got it downloaded and I had it all ready to go and I just never read it.
It's some good stuff. They're breaking down sort of their hacking incidences in New Zealand, sort of there, and they've broken down the vulnerabilities one level more.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, Gary Jeans. Are you the Patreon? I don't know. Are you a Patreon?
Have you got to patreon.com?
Do you call them a patron or a Patreon?
I'm not sure. I think they're a patron.
Yeah,
a
patron.
Because you got a patron of the arts, right?
Yeah. I think that's the joke, the thing. Yeah.
The pun.
Yeah. A Patreon-y, yeah. You said they've broken it down. Interestingly, something happened today. Someone on the intertubes was like, hey, I need an incident response company. Does anyone have one? And people were like, oh, this stuff's one. Someone was like, oh, why don't you get a CERT? And I guess, from my perspective, if someone was like, oh, I own a small to medium business and we have an incident, it's Friday, who do we go to? My first thought is not CERT. My first thought was, okay, you need to get a professional, basically an incident response company in, get them dealing with everything, and then go to CERT afterwards, or during, after you've got that IR rolling, it'd be like, hey, just FYI, this is happening to us, is it happening to someone else? Am I alone in thinking that? Oh, hey, Jackson, it's kind of hard to read, Evil Demon and Squirt. Damn, we got a crowd in here today. You know, Hugh leaving just really pumps up the chat, doesn't it?
Yeah. They're not scared of Hugh, talking over them or talking down to them or something. Must be, right? Everyone, comes out. It's really good to see everyone actually on there discussing stuff.
Yeah. Lots of good discussion. What do you reckon? Would you go to CERT in the first instance or later or at all or what?
I would go to CERT because the other thing that CERT... I'm not sure what level of actual incident response, I'm not sure whether they're just going to help you coordinate. Actually, the other thing they can actually help you find the person. If you actually do want the in-depth forensically imaged computers, actually have someone go through your network find of code, they might be able to point you in the correct direction. Because I don't believe CERT provides the sort of the fine-tooth comb service. When you're getting an IR company, I'm thinking the fine-tooth comb.
Because there's kind of two. If you get hacked, there's the, reformat the server, find out how they got on, whatever. Which in that case, maybe you would go to CERT. You'd be like, hey, someone popped this website, but we're reformatting it, whatever. Here's an image if they want it. But then there's also the, okay, we got hacked, let's roll IR, which is a little bit different. And for that, I feel like I probably wouldn't go to CERT. I'd be more inclined to just get a private company in. So, I don't know,
But it's a good first starting point. If you don't know where to go, they're a good bunch of people.
Do they recommend professional services, though?
I don't know.
Because that's the other problem is that you don't want to, well, maybe you do. I don't know if their position is like, if you go to them and say, hey, who do I pick for IR? Are they allowed to even suggest anyone? Or do they have to be like, look, you have to, like, we're a government department. We can't procure for you or anything.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Maybe we could talk to a cert person at some point.
It could be, oh, we should get cert on the show. It could be, like, interesting because I do...
Actually, what does cert do? Because I'm just talking, because most of the interaction I have with them is actually through you filing CVEs with them. It can be them to handle the whole coordinated disclosure.
Yeah, yeah. I've used them for that twice now. I need to email them, actually. It's a little bit frustrating because... Like, to email them, just being like, hey, what's up? I need to, like, get all my PGP stuff working, which is just, like, So I generally just, like, wait for them to email me, and then I have to email, so.
Yeah, which is quite funny when you actually know a lot of them actually outside through the actual community.
So maybe I could just Twitter DM them. Just, like, DM them, hey, how's that disclosure going? That O-Day that affects every government department. Ha ha ha. Yeah, probably not. Not a good idea. Still, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was interesting.
No, that will be a little bit of a fun one when you get to talk about it.
Mm. Squip's asking, was it easy to deal with them? Yeah, like exceedingly so.
Oh.
Purple bus. Yeah, that one's the... wait, hang
that's
on.
One of the old ones that needs to be replaced, the purple buses. Yeah. The ones that are in from the bench or some other funny quote on the top of them.
Oh, yeah, they've got the funny quotes, yeah.
We
got green, we got yellow, we got orange, we got purple.
That they should all, the long-term one, that will be yellow with the lime green.
Yeah.
And they'll have their funny...
quotes on the top.
Quotes on the top, and I do like how PurpleCon's got their sublimable messaging on some of them, because they've got these funny little puns around... Lime,
yeah.
Seeing that's sort of the predominant color on them.
Oh, look, a lime bus. I mean truck. Lots of different color bus. I haven't seen any red lights. I've been paying like a bit of attention.
Paying no attention.
I've been paying a little bit. I just haven't seen.
I'm a little bit of out of practice with this whole bus factor thing. Yeah.
Hey, caffeine ink. So dealing with cert, I'd say exceedingly easy. Now that being said, I think one of the reasons it was easy in the case I tried. Oh, look, a white and blue bus. $7.50, cash fare only. Well, damn. I don't know what bus that is, but he ain't going to get many people on him.
Oh, I think that's like, that could possibly like be the Kapiti Express or Stokes Valley Express, like these special non-Metlink buses.
Oh, I thought, ones. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Because
additional to the airport flyer, which is a non-Metlink bus, there are some other like commuter buses that run once or twice peak.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, they were easy to deal with, and I think the reason they were easy to deal with is because the vendor was easy to deal with. So I reported a bug to them, they got all the details, they confirmed it, and basically came back a few days later and were like, hey, vendor accepts it, green and black. Vendor accepts it, here's kind of the details, and they kind of like proxied it back and forth and organized some stuff for me. So I would say exceedingly easy. So if you want to do coordinated disclosure, I would recommend them. That being said, I have reported another bug, which I think the vendor is less responsive for. And I'm like, not sure how this one's going to go. Just because, like, what can cert do if the vendor doesn't respond? They can throw their name around, but at the end of the day, vendors are generally bad.
0 day.
Yeah, drop it. But I'm going to drop it, hopefully.
Well, because you're allowed to sort of, in the thing you say, follow the project zeros, was it 60 or 90 days?
Yeah, I think... They think they do 60. I'd be fine with 90. Like, with that being said, if the vendor comes back with nothing after 60 days, I think I'd drop it. If they come back with, hey, please give us more time, I'd be fine with 90. Do you know what I mean? Like, if they're willing to engage, why is he stopped?
Oh, I think there's a blockage of buses, which is interesting because he's sitting. Oh, I was hoping for it to go red because he's sitting in the advanced stopping box.
Oh, yeah. Drop it on the bus factor. Hell yeah. Believe me, it's not very good. Like, most of the bugs I find these days are pretty low tier. Wouldn't say they're very good.
Yeah.
I mean, they're O-Day. They're like, if you happen to be somewhere with it, shitty appliances. Well, so many different buses today.
Oh, that's in the box, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in.
Yeah, that's in the box.
Let's bump it up. Okay, so which one? ABS count. Yeah, number one. Hey, do you want to do some guessing before we go on to the next part of the news? An ABS violation, you just saw it there. It's an advanced bicycle stop violation.
Which is advanced stopping box is the council's term for it.
Yeah, no one calls it advanced bicycle stop, but we fucked it up the first time. We're sticking with it. So it's the little green box where vehicles aren't allowed to be.
And cyclists can stop at the front of the queue, and you'll notice the little dots down the middle. Mm-hmm. There's a special like trigger loop for the lights to pick up the bikes if they like go along those little dots in the middle.
Yeah, so there's
two in a row.
Oh, damn, look at him. Damn, he went far. So
he covered the whole box.
It's like a safety thing, I think, so that they're not squished between vehicles. Also, they take off a lot faster. And also, they need to be able to trigger the lights. So it's kind of like multiple reasons for it. I'm sure you can figure out the reasons. It's also super grippy, right? The green stuff's grippy.
Well, yeah. Well, when you're painting a big thing of the road like that, you need to make it grippy, else it becomes, because slippery paint, like bikes just go fall over on them.
Yeah. Should be funny to watch, but inappropriate. Hey, speaking of kind of funny, not funny actually, but did you see that a plane sprayed like pesticide or like poison or some shit over a school?
Up in Carterton?
Yeah. I'm told if you have children, this is a very unfunny story. But as someone who doesn't have story, it's so ridiculous. It seriously sounds like something out of a movie. Like a criminal. Oh, but what's this person up to? Oh,
not a bus though, unfortunately.
Not a bus, but it was pretty ridiculous to be stuck there. I don't know. That's not really bus-related news, but plane-related news, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, but unfortunately it's a crop duster, so it's not public transport. If it was an airline, you could call it
true.
Public
transport. We shouldn't.
It is a stretch, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay, should we hit up some news then?
Yeah, we could hit up some news.
Okay, what have we got?
What side do we want to go on first?
Maybe tech? We got more stuff there.
Tech, all right, tech.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we should just go down the list, shall we? Unless there's something you particularly want to talk about.
Yeah. Do it in order, I think would work.
Okay. So what's the opposite of old tomatoes? Yeah?
I think old might become new.
Yeah, you got that one.
Well, the opposite of a tomato.
Yeah, that one's not great. what about what is the English the Japanese word is tamago. What is the English word?
Unfortunately, because I can see the board, I'm going to say egg.
Yeah, you're right.
See, I'm a Japanese expert,
man,
obviously.
You got some Japanese skills there. Yeah, you got to say it with that exact accent as well. Tamago. Like, no Japanese accent on it. Just make it sound like a really bored American. Yeah, Newegg, right? So they do, what are they, like online commerce? They're pretty big. Like,
online commerce. Predominantly in the sort of tech products.
Yeah, I would say they're probably the biggest. Oh, come on.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to count it? Okay.
Yeah, it was red and he was creeping.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I mean, I'm just saying, he technically didn't stop in the ABS thing.
But it was red and he was covering it.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah, they steal your credit card, so that's a downside. They don't mean to. Newegg themselves are, I'd say, like one of the more reputable places.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that being said, they're on their e-commerce, so they're not super like reputable. But they got popped. Now, it was a little bit unclear to me. Is it a crew doing this, or is it like a worm, or like what's the?
I'm not sure because it seems to be it's credit card skimming, and it seems to be awfully similar to what they did at Ticketmaster and British Airways recently.
Yeah, there's been a string of them. So this is the okay. So what it might have been, I remember British Airways was done via a CDN, so it was like the CDN got popped. Could be the same CDN. Or maybe the same kind of thing.
But it sort of seems to be skimming in the same place that the fact as you enter the details, a piece
JavaScript.
Of JavaScript, and it's just skimming it off there in real time.
So if you have JavaScript disabled, you won't get hacked. Which, surprisingly, JavaScript disabled surprises, like, it solves a lot of security issues.
Unfortunately, more and more sites no longer work with JavaScript turned off, unfortunately.
It's a pretty sad state, especially because JavaScript is just not needed for most websites. Ugh, single page apps where it's like, hey, let's re-implement the browser in the browser. Like, oh man, I'm so salty about it.
So where does single page apps going to become like, have like single page app and a single page app
Yeah, well, they do the thing at the moment where they're like, oh, we're going to does he count? No, he hasn't.
It's
not really
green.
Yet.
So technically a bike could keep biking through the intersection.
It's true.
But now that it's got orange.
Oh, and a red. Look at that. Damn.
That's there. Yeah,
that was easy red.
That's
okay.
A red, yeah.
So we bump up the ABS. Or, hey, do you want to guess before we go much further? I think we forgot to.
I think we might. I'm going to go like 3 red and maybe 6 ASBs.
3 and 6. I'm going to go. I'm not going to go 6 and 3. That would be a real dumb move at this point. 3 and 6. I'm going to go.
Oh, someone with a bike just on that. On that one that went past.
How was he? He was on the front, was he?
Yeah, on the front, yeah.
Oh, the way I see him, yeah. I've got the instant replay. I'm going to go 5-5. Even 5-5.
5-5.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to win the ABS, but I could win the bus red lights. There's a bunch of e-commerce places. I don't know. Your bank would, like, pays you back for this, right, if your credit card gets stolen?
Yeah, it's fraud. Yeah,
it's a bit annoying if you have a debit card, actually, because...
If it's a debit card, it's actually your money.
Yeah, you basically have no money. I checked. He looks.
Yeah, yeah.
He's borderline, but yeah. Yeah, because like when I've had my debit card done in the past, the bank's like, oh, we'll get that recovered for you. And I'm like, how do I get money? And they're like, you have no money for the next month. 28 days to get it recovered.
Until we recover it, yeah.
Yeah. And I remember it happened one time. It was so fucked. It was near the end of the month. My flatmate was like, I don't have any money. So he's like, can my girlfriend transfer money to you because you're with the same bank and you get the cash out and give it to me? He's like, if you transfer money to me, it's going to take like 3 days. So transferred money to me. That night, credit card account dumped. So end of the month, I had no savings and I lost all his girlfriend's money. And I was just like, oh my fucking God, I'm so sorry. Like, but fucking, what can you do about it? We just didn't have any money. Yeah, use a credit card would solve that. I don't like credit cards. Like conceptually, the idea of borrowing money, like I get it. I totally understand. It's a better option financially, as long as you know how to use them. But also, I just don't like it.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Okay. So Port Newark.
Yeah. Not sure what we're really gonna do because. The thing that you hear about places talking about to actually solve the problem is one-time credit card numbers.
I would love one-time credit card numbers. That would solve a lot. Well, it would solve. I mean, it would
solve
mitigate.
All this online stuff. And then also, because you could either, and if you could either set them up so they're one use or set them up that they can only be used with this merchant. So if it's like a monthly thing, you can say, it's only going to be
used. That red light.
Yeah. Yeah.
You probably want to do both of them, right? Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, you want to be able to offer both of them. Yeah, yeah.
Because if you just do one time, right, but someone JavaScripts your credit card, they can just like use JavaScript to stop that payment going through, run it on a like compromised server somewhere else, and they can still do the transaction.
Yeah, yeah. But then you're only going to be out. Because I assume when you set up the one-time password, you're also... the one-time credit card number, you also say how much it's going to be for.
Yeah, that could be a good way of doing it.
Yeah, so they can't just, like, max your card out.
It is... Oh, that poor guy. I don't think it's... I mean, he shouldn't have entered. Oh, yeah, maybe half? Or what are you reckon?
Half. Because it was also double-decker as well.
Yeah. He couldn't really do much there, but he shouldn't have got in there in the first place.
And then he sat there for a whole cycle.
Yeah, which was the bus in front of him's fault. Yeah, I don't know. There's like kind of a lot of mitigations you can do, I guess. But of course, the technical one you can do, like not from the bank's perspective, if you run a website, is just sub-resource integrity. If you say, hey, the CDN script is this hash, then like solved, maybe? Like, so.
Yeah.
Oh, damn, look at that. A car in a bus lane.
There was one like the last cycle as well. Oh, is he going to get out in
time? What's he even doing? Like, why is he so far behind that bus?
The car, there's a big gap. You know, you can't see it, but we're going, he's still maybe got like 2 meters he can go further forward.
Yeah, it's not small.
Because it might get.
Oh, his window's open. Should we yell at him?
That might get him off the pedestrian crossing.
Yeah.
Because he's covering the pedestrian crossing, which is our delimiter, isn't it?
Is he covering it, though? I don't know if he was.
I think he was.
It was tough. He might have been just over it. Look, I think he's just over it, like on the line. I don't know if he's... Yeah, because she didn't really move.
And looking at where the shadow was on then
it was tough. And yeah. the guy behind him, if you look, he's actually over the line as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, oh my god, Windows is like really wanting me to do an update on the Bus Factor computer. Snooze. It was like before I clicked it, oh my god, look at this. Before I clicked it and it was like, hey, do you want to schedule an update for 5:30? And I'm like, no. No, like Windows is literally the 1 hour I use the computer every week, Friday at fucking 5 to 6 p.m. Why would you pick this? It was ridiculous. I thought I did that thing now where it was like, I'll work out when you don't use your computer.
Yeah, yeah. You obviously don't use it. Just doesn't think you use this at all.
Oh my god, it's just weird. Wow, I'm glad all the buses made it out. Okay, well, should we? So yeah, sub-resource integrity. Anyway, whatever. Yep. Wid McLeod.
Yeah.
Western
Digital MyCloud.
Can you describe what Western Digital MyCloud is exactly, if you haven't known?
I believe it's a thing where you can plug your hard drive, one of your hard drives into your network, and it makes it all cloudy for you. So you can access your stuff remotely.
So it's a bit like a NAS, but with some cloud features built in.
Yeah, yeah, that's my understanding of it.
Hello, Mr. Lokifer. Just talking about the Western Digital MyHub. I mean, MyCloud. Yeah, so NAS that you plug in is cloud enabled. So there's the Synology NASs, they tend to be less cloudy, right?
ABS, yeah, ABS the Synologies, Easy. Yeah, yeah, they tend to be less cloudy, yeah.
So less cloudy, but still kind of like the same idea. I think they do have like a cloud option or something. I don't know.
Which I think most things now, you'd be hard pressed not to have a cloud part in your NAS at this day and age for the home users. Because that's what people really want to do. They want to share their music and their photos of their kids with their grandparents stuff like that.
I can access it. Why can't other people? Which is a fair enough question. It's like, this is the XKCD that happens all the time. It's like, we're fucking 50 years into computers and we still haven't figured out how to share files. It's getting better. It is getting better, but it is a slow process. Like, Google Drive is okay. Emails are a little bit bigger now, but still.
Yeah.
IPFS is pretty sweet. Have you used IPFS before?
No.
It's like peer-to-peer. So you run the daemon on your computer and give someone a link and it'll like do it. It's kind of like Tor almost, but without the anonymity.
Or when we had the BitTorrent sync thing?
Yeah, a bit like that as well. This IPFS is built on the BitTorrent protocol as well. So it's designed to be like speedy.
Oh, speedy, particularly if you've got multiple people.
Yeah, I believe so. So I think speed was one of their main design goals. Whereas like Freenet, which operates somewhat similarly, is designed for anonymity. So we've got all these different systems. I don't think any of them are going to become particularly mainstream because, like...
Well, no, because people just use Dropbox and Google Drive and emails because that's where they do it. And Snapchat.
Dropbox isn't super popular, right?
Yeah, and Snapchat for the nudes, right?
Yeah, boy.
Well, that's a red. That's a red.
Easy red. Easy.
And that's the electric bus.
Is that should he not go through reds because he's electric?
Well, he's special. He's an obvious. He's only one of the.
True. Yeah. So if we reported him, he would be caught out easy. Yeah. Anyway, the news story, which I haven't mentioned yet, the news story is that if you log in over the local network,
I believe it's on the internet that basically you. YOLO, anyone can log in, become admin.
On Western Digital servers, okay.
Well, into their cloudy thing, yeah.
Interesting. The end result is you can become admin on one of these devices without the password. This was like via a static cookie.
Oh, that was a red.
Oh, was it? Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Let's bump that counter up. Oh, snap. Look who's looking pretty good with 5.5.
Yeah, 5.5. I think you've got it.
All I need is half a bus. If someone blows up a bus and half goes through and they have to close the intersection, that'll just be, that'll be perfect.
Not that you condone terrorism.
No, I don't. But if it happened, it'd be perfect. Yeah. Yeah. Trying not to, you know, when you sometimes want to run your mouth about something you shouldn't? I'm like, terrorism. But, you know, go to prison. Not worth it. Yeah, so this is like the static cookie or something. You set your cookie to like admin or something. Good luck, Lokifer. My dad is the FBI, actually. He's my dad is actually what's his name? Who's the guy who like started the FBI? He's like
Hoover?
Hoover, yeah. J. Edgar Hoover, whatever his fucking name is. That's my dad, so bam. Next you're gonna tell me your dad's Bill Gates, aren't you? I've seen how this goes. Yeah, you see it like a cookie or something, right? That's how it works.
Yeah, I didn't read the details. I just saw, yeah, you can get admin on these things because silliness.
Yeah, pretty common. Though, like, interesting to have that particular class of bug these days when every framework has auth built in. I don't know, like, I think, do you feel like the company that make, how do I phrase it? The place, like, where the developers are located affects code quality? So, for example, United States companies tend to be, oh, maybe not. I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, are they better than, like, Chinese companies, for example?
But then you've got to, they've got different pressures. And even if it's a US company, you don't know actually where their dev shop is.
Yeah, it's true. And I'm just thinking, like, Cisco has hard-coded creds all the time, and so maybe not. I don't know. It's hard to tell. I guess it's just, like, cheap stuff tends to be lower quality.
And particularly the companies that are sort of moving into the sort of the network connected age more recently.
Yeah,
They're pivoting into it.
True, yeah. Western Digital's been hard drives and storage and a few other things for a long time, haven't they?
Yeah.
Good point.
Yes, I think that's the bigger thing.
Yeah, you're right. I agree. Anyway, funny bug. Ha 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 ha. I guess businesses might have a few of those lying around, but predominantly homes. Small businesses, maybe. iOS, right? Do you run iOS? No, you don't, do you?
No. Do I actually have any iOS users now?
I don't
think
so. That
Scoochy Witchy left.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think we all run Android here, which is horrible. Like, isn't it crazy how everyone is like, oh, fucking, look at the fucking, oh.
That was a red.
No, it wasn't. Well, I mean, are you watching? Look on the replay. He actually gets through.
Oh, he clears the
pedestrian
across.
But the guy behind him is like, oh, I'm going to go. No, I'm not. He's not sure. Yeah, isn't it crazy how everyone in security is like, oh, iOS is clearly the superior choice for security. Like, it's hard to argue about that. But no one runs it. No one runs it because, I don't know, like, often you need stuff. Like, NFC for two-factor has been, like, locked out on iOS for a long time.
Yeah,
you want to, like, build an app, it's a lot easier on Android.
Yeah, but the fact that I can actually get a phone, well, now that more phones are getting security updates on the Android side monthly, the price is down because if I also, you know, A, I want the phone for them, but if I also want to impose good hygiene on, like, family members and stuff. I mean, well, I can't tell them to buy an iPhone, and I can't I can't tell them to buy a Pixel either, really.
Yeah, no, they're too expensive, and so basically they just end up buying shitty Android phones. I think the Android system ecosystem is getting slightly better.
Yeah, because I think the Nokias are getting some of the prices down.
Yeah,
and they're doing monthly security patches, and they're getting a bit of a good history now of actually getting those security patches out monthly.
I think
Nokia is actually where I'm possibly recommending people now.
Samsung's been okay for a while, right? Like, they're hit and miss, but
I think Google has a Android for Business when they've got maybe a dozen phones where Google has vetted the manufacturer and has confirmed for these models they will actually provide security updates.
Oh, yeah. There's also like Android One or something, right? Do you remember that? Where it's like a non-bloatware version of Android that's guaranteed to get updates or something?
Yeah, I think that's a product line they're more pushing in developing countries.
Gotcha, because they're cheap phones.
Yeah, because they can't push the Pixel in those countries, so they're pushing the One in those other countries.
Yep.
Which, that said, I would really like the One here because I think they would make a really good parental phone.
Yep, I agree. Something cheap that works well. I mean, that's why I rent a dumb
phone.
Well,
gets update.
Yep.
I mean, that's my requirement is for the type of people I'm recommending phones for, it's like it needs updates and it needs like a web browser, email, Facebook.
Yeah. Pretty the standard
and
things.
YouTube and Netflix.
But like barely even needs like NFC and stuff. So they are kind of handy. Logova says that they're allegedly enabling more of an NFC API at some point, which will be good. I like that the Androids can read MyFares, for example. You can, like, with some of the tooling now, clone MyFares with Androids. Like, you don't even need a Proxmark anymore to do a lot of MyFair cloning. And MyFair's still used at a lot of places. So,
MyFair Classic.
MyFair Classic, yeah. I tend to just call MyFair Classics MyFairs, but you're right. It's actually...
Rather than saying the Des Fire EV2s and EV1s.
Yeah, I tend to just be like, MyFair bad. Des Fire good. But yeah, they're both.
Yeah.
This one good. ABS violation.
Yeah, ABS, yeah.
Would you say 3.6, right?
Yeah, I said 3.6, yeah.
You said 5.5. Yeah, so I think you are probably winning at this point. But the tables can turn.
I'm not sure how we can turn the ASB violations now.
Well, yeah, but if it goes to 5.7, doesn't that mean I win?
Are we doing this because we win one each, or are we going to look at some of the differences?
No, we win one each. I'm going with one each. Definitely. Okay, what else we got? Do we want to switch lanes for a bit? We're at 5.7.
Oh, yeah, we can switch lanes. Was it Tuesday down in Christchurch? Their bus drivers have been taking the lead from the Wellington bus drivers and decided to hit a pedestrian.
That was what it sounds like.
It critically put them into hospital. We did try looking this afternoon for any updates, and we can't find any updates, so we presume they haven't died.
Critical hit. Monster kill.
Though maybe those jokes aren't appropriate, considering someone is probably in hospital. Sucks, right? But it happens. People get hit by buses.
And I mean, not the slower part of the street we're looking at, further up to the right.
Yeah.
That up there past that intersection, there's been a few deaths further up there.
Yeah, there's also like the entirety of kind of like Willis and whatnot, where when they changed, right, they changed from one way to two way at some point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, there was Manners. Manners right, went from right, like a pedestrian wall to this, and then the upper part of Willis Street, which is the one we're looking at, went from one way to two way.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Yeah, a lot of changes make people just be like, whoa.
Yeah, but when I've crossed a road, I've never thought, oh, right, this is a one-way street. I need to look one way.
I do that on routes I take really often. So walking around town, generally I don't, but on the way to work or the way home from work, because I walk it every single day, I know every light cycle. I know everywhere cars can come from. So I just I autopilot it, right? Like,
okay,
I don't
even
think about it. And like, especially the next street over, right? That's one way.
Victoria.
Yeah, I just don't look both directions because I autopilot it. So I can see the problem, though I would hope I, you know, would look both ways if it was both. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
Speaking of people being hit by buses, this isn't someone being hit by a bus. But yeah, did you hear there's a 71-year-old? Yeah, it doesn't look like 71, does it? But it is 71. 71-year-old they were sitting in a bus coming down the Nowranga Gorge, where it was, right?
Yeah, Nowranga Gorge. I believe it's the steepest section of State Highway 1.
Oh, damn. And bus driver slammed on the brakes. They came flying out of their seat and had to call a hospital. Had to call an ambulance. So that's pretty brutal. It sounds like it wasn't really that. Well, I mean, you know, to the extent it can be, it sounds like it wasn't the bus driver's fault, really. And the bus driver felt horrible, and everyone felt horrible, and it was just a bad situation. But I don't know. Kind of sucks. Especially the timing around all the bus issues we've been having. Because, I mean, you can't attribute one to the other.
This person was in a seat.
Yeah, the 71-year-old was, I believe.
They were in a seat. It wasn't a standing issue.
Yeah, it could have been a relatively new driver, but the impression I got was if it was, that would have been put in the news story because it makes it sell better, right?
Yeah, yeah. I believe it was just the traffic can sort of stop, particularly as you've come around the corner.
Yeah.
Or if so, you sit there and you haven't been technically driving to the conditions and slowing down when you don't have as much sight in front of you. And
poor situation anyway. Sucks for her. Though it sounds like she's okay. As okay as you can be when you're 71 years old.
And because at that age, you know, injuries can, if something packs up, it can.
You'll be fucked for life, really.
You don't bounce back.
My arm's not working anymore. It's going to be bruised like that forever. That happens as you get older. It sucks, man. Getting old sucks. Finally, I was like 15 again. Or maybe not 15. Maybe like 18. 19. Yeah, around there. You're pretty good.
But with your current like salary and stuff like that.
I had a pretty good salary at 19, actually, because I was working full-time in Sydney, so I was on... Like, it wasn't super good for Sydney, but for someone just out of high school, it was like, what, 60K Australian straight out of high school, which was...
That's pretty good.
Pretty fucking good. That's like, what, 70, 80 New Zealand straight out of high school?
Yeah.
So it's coming from...
And that was a few years ago now with petrol and inflation and stuff.
Yeah, so coming straight out of high school, going to that, I was like, fuck yeah. I had this banging apartment, which I shared because, you know, it's fucking Sydney. Can't pay for it alone. So yeah, it wouldn't even be that bad if I went back to that. And then my body would be less distraught. But not as bad as a 71-year-old still.
No.
Hey, what else we got? Should we finish off the bus news here?
Yeah, finish off the bus news. So the regional council has like bowed to public pressure, pressure from the local MPs and pressure from the city council.
And pretty much anyone
else.
Yeah.
And the ministers for transport and whatnot, and they're getting an independent review about basically how they fucked all this up. So they're going to base it, and which people are going, well, great, you're getting an independent review. Remember, it was independent people who designed this new bus network.
Yeah.
So, and then when actual fact is people are going, well, we kind of know what the some of the problems are. It's like, well, hey, you never actually checked the Snapper data to actually see what people's journeys were.
Yeah. There was also the lack of ability to enforce contractual violations.
I think that was the previous one in particular. And also the fact in this negotiation, NZ Bus, which was the predominant one previously, were going, hey, can in this contract, can we please put some stipulations? Because they seem to have a better work environment. I won't say it's ideal, but it was definitely better than the other ones, who the majority ones now, and they were trying to get some actual things built into sort of the tendering process to actually have minimum conditions, minimum wages, dinner breaks, and all that sort of stuff. Some of the, to actually make it a level playing field, because NZ Bus didn't want to, or with the unions couldn't reduce their conditions. While these other new companies could keep their lower conditions, and therefore,
shave
of course,
some pennies off.
Shave the pennies off, and it's become a race to the bottom.
Yeah, so I think that's the thing, is like people are like, when you have multiple companies competing in a situation like this, one of them's not going to be like, oh, should we pick up more routes and dock the pay of our executives? No, they won't do that. They'll be like, should we pick up more routes and like push our drivers to exhaustion more? That's what they'll do every time, right? Yeah. So it is kind of like, I mean, like, I'm not against the idea of competing. I just think that, like, there are some problems when you just let it happen like this.
Yeah, particularly when you are giving people the bus companies monopolies.
Yeah, you are. You're saying, here's the contract. Do whatever you want with it. You can't lose it. You can't be punished. You can't be fined. Wow.
Yeah. Well, there's some
ABS violation.
Yeah, ABS. There are some conditions around, like, cancellations and lateness. Though I think some of it was...
I thought there's like no penalty for it.
I think for like the first 6 months there was going to be no penalties.
Oh, okay. And then after that it's meant to...
No, yeah. And that's the problem was there's no...
Yeah.
Yeah, but this report's just going to find out all the stuff we already know. I don't... Unless they're actually really going to focus on how we can improve things. And one of the things previously was a lot of the routes would go from a suburb and go through the CBD and then stop. Now to try and actually reduce the number of buses going through the CBD, they go, I'll start at one suburb, go through the CBD and go to another suburb. So if there's been like an impact, instead of, if there's been a car crash or something, instead of it just happening between the city and the suburb, it now goes the whole way across the city.
Yeah, I feel like they did that for a while, didn't they, still? They went through the whole city.
Yeah, they went through the whole city, then stopped and turned around, then didn't continue on to another suburb. Yeah, the suburb's on the other side.
I honestly don't know the routes and the changes well enough, but yeah. One other thing is, like, we independent reviews are funny, because, like, for example, have you... This is not bus-related, but it is independent review-related, so I'm sticking to it. The Housing New Zealand meth issue independent review was completed recently, right?
Yep.
And they basically said, like, the national government fucked up really bad. They shouldn't have done it. They need to compensate these people. That this is their current compensation levels are not enough. They said a bunch of stuff like that. And it doesn't matter because National, like everyone in National is still like, oh, fuck it. Those people deserve to be fucked. Like, we don't think we should give them compensation. And it's like, what's the point of the independent review then? The independent review was like, yep, this was bad. This is how you solve it. And a bunch of politicians are like, no.
What National, who did it, are now going, oh, Labor's soft. They're giving into their voter base, rah, 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 rather than actually going, you judge society by how you treat your most vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, the people were like, oh, we'll give 2 to 3K compensation. It's like, if you've been kicked out of your house, and a lot of cases, people's like possessions were destroyed. They were like, oh, they're meth infested. Get rid of them. Burn them. Yeah, it's like way far.
Yeah, yeah. But, and trying to find somewhere you've been kicked out. Chances are people who are in houses in New Zealand houses don't have
liquidity
to actually find a new place. And it's actually quite stressful.
Yeah. No, yeah, but I mean, like, that's a fucked up situation. But I just think the interesting thing is that we've had the independent review. It's done. It's happened. We've seen the results of it. And the answer is, fuck you. It doesn't matter. We're politicians. We're not going to, like, look at facts. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Hate politicians, man. Anyway. Let's move on. So we got one more.
One more. Instead of without requiring an independent review.
Mm-hmm.
They've figured out that around 50% of the buses are actually too small.
This is 50% at peak time.
Yeah, at peak time.
Still, people get to the bus.
Well, what they're saying is basically, given how many people are trying to get on the buses, they're saying 50% of them are actually like overcrowded or don't have enough seats.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter what time of day it is. Yeah, the fact that the bus at that time is actually 50% of the time it's going to be too small.
I mean, that's pretty bad, especially given how long it's been. And, like, I get it. It's hard to get new buses. But guess what? Transit, that's your fucking job.
No, I think Transit's okay because they had to buy a new fleet. It's the NZ Bus who are using a lot of the existing buses. As we see, there's a purple bus just going in front of us.
There's the electric boy.
The electric boys again. Their older buses, which weren't for the new timetables and stuff, weren't actually big enough, and they are in the process of getting new buses. And St. NZ Bus runs the Karori route.
Which is super busy.
That's actually, it's A, super busy, B, because of the Karori tunnel, they can't actually run the double deckers on it.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I think we joked about when they first did this, what the double deckers. One day, someone's going to try to do it. Someone's going to just forget about it, be like, run the double-decker.
Transit doesn't go up there, though.
Oh, and they're the only ones that have double-deckers?
Yes, so that is the double-deckers.
That's one way to deal with it. Still, it's funny. I could imagine it happening some point, one day in the future.
Yeah.
Increase the frequency, whatever. Like, the point is, this is a really solvable problem. If it's been, what, 2 months now?
Yeah,
get some
months.
New fucking buses. Like, oh, red light. Bam.
Yeah, red light.
Look at that. Now we're even. Now we both win the guessing game.
Yay, we both win.
Yay, that's how I picked it. So that no winners or losers here. Only people who tie with each other.
We're all winners. Yeah. Yay.
I don't know. I'm salty about it just because, I don't know.
About getting a tie?
No, no, not salty about that. Salty about like just the incompetency of bus people. I've been on site to like a few days now and just listening. Oh my God, to people in these offices. It's just, so I don't understand how governments or corporations get anything done. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's an ABS violation.
Oh, so it is. Oh, is he? Yeah, he's definitely over.
It's a little bit hard to see
on the thing here.
Yeah,
ABS count. Bam. Hey, damn, numbers are cranking up now. Okay, well, let's switch lanes again. Do you see there's some CSS you can use to crash iOS devices?
Hey, that's really good that I use Android.
Oh, that's why we started talking about it, right? Yeah,
We never actually got to the crux of the issue.
Yeah. it's kind of funny. It's like, iOS has CSS you can use to crash, and it's like, I don't know, Android is easy to crash anyway. Oh, that being said, I haven't personally seen any like particularly gnarly ode for Android. Not that using CSS to crash someone's device is particularly bad. I think most of the iOS bugs we've seen in the last 2 years have been DOS related, haven't they?
Yeah.
And a few font issues, emoji bit issues, like Unicode ones. No, I've seen this.
Technically, there's that, was that grey box thing they plug in?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because that's technically a vulnerability. They haven't disclosed the vulnerability, so we don't actually understand it. But the fact that they could recover stuff from what I understood to be the latest at the time, there's obviously our vulnerability out there.
Yeah, so I think a lot of the vulnerabilities nowadays deal with kind of like some kind of secure enclave bypass to do like PIN stuff, which like, to be honest, that's not remote. That's local, which if you have local access, exploits get easier anyway. So yeah, I don't know. Still, I think it's interesting that we're seeing relatively less exploits for Android and iOS. Yeah. Now, Android especially, I think, you know, it's like somewhat unexpected. But yeah, still CSS. I don't think it's from what I was reading, it doesn't seem like this is ever going to be possible to turn into RCE. It's like literally just a DOS. So, meh. And then it only crashes Safari, I don't know. Or like restarts your phone or something. It does something benign.
Anyone with an iOS device out there can tell us what it does on their phone.
Yeah, Google like iOS CSS blurp and you'll come up somehow.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the opposite of... No, okay, I can't do that. I'll give you a cryptic crossword. No, I can't.
What, number four?
One, two. Yeah, that one. Yeah, it's just, I got nothing. I got no good intro.
Okay, yeah.
Did you see Spark emailed out all their customers being like, hey, you've been hacked, bro?
And Spark being New Zealand's incumbent telecommunications company.
Yes, previously known as Telecom. Which is weird because it was Telecom in New Zealand and Telstra in Australia, who were the incumbents. But then Telstra came here. But then when you say Telstra, but then people think it's weird. I don't know, names and stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, the incumbent operator here, who I presume they've still got largest market share, though I haven't looked.
I assume they've got largest market share. Because also, and then technically and directly, they've got their other ISPs as
they
well.
They got some other stuff in there. They tend to gobble up companies every now and again.
Yeah. Actually, let's get to the
news story.
The crux of it was...
red light. There was definitely a red light.
Yeah, right? That was a red light. Yeah.
Easy.
Easy. So basically, they scared and got some of their customers really, really worried because they emailed 21,000 of them to say their emails and passwords have been in a breach. So everyone assumed that, oh my God, Spark's been popped. Ah, what do I do? Spark, rah, 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 rah. Actually, what it came out is Spark is trying to be proactive and understand. They went out to the to sort of some of the dump sites and got the email dumps and password dumps and basically went through looking for
people who were affected.
People who were affected and telling those people that they needed to consider changing their passwords.
Yeah.
And I think the messaging on this scared a lot of people from what I can gather.
Yeah.
And it is a very hard problem. It's like to actually, because when you talk about these sort of, have I been pwned, and you're talking these people through this, you almost actually do need to sit down with, I know when I've talked to friends and family about it, you actually need to sit down and you need to walk them through it quite carefully. I don't think an email can actually articulate and cover the issues off to them. And I think that's part of the problem, because then you're telling them, you've told this one that you've been hacked, and then you're telling them to maybe go to another website for FAQs or something. And I'm not sure I understand Spark's supposed to be trying to do a good thing. I'm not entirely sure. I don't think the implementation was as well as it could do. And that said, I don't actually know of a good way to actually help and address this actual problem.
It's tough. You're dealing with average Joes and Janes who you're right. There's no good way. You can, when they go to set a password, you can be like, hey, that password is not strong enough. That's probably a good way to do it. Someone tries to sign up with a password that's been in a dump before, just saying, that password is not strong enough, or something like that. Yeah. Click here for more details, and they say, hey, we check for passwords that people have used previously. Ugh, I don't even know, because if someone puts a random password that's been used previously, it's kind of, I don't know.
Well, you also need to look at how common that password is as well.
If it's ever been in a breach, though, it's probably not worth doing.
Like, yeah. Like, yeah, and then also I think some people then complain that Spark was saying this, and then Spark's own internal systems aren't particularly good at handling like
passwords,
like having maximum links or crazy complexity rules or stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, it's tough. Yeah, I don't know what the I don't know what they should have done, but yeah, maybe they could have done like a usability test. You sent it to 100 people, rung them up. Hey, did you find that email helpful? Is there a problem with the email? Do you want to discuss it in person? And they would at least have known, like, hey, we shouldn't have sent this.
Yeah, and also instead of actually starting out by telling people that be known, start working with the CERTs, the NZs, the NetSafe, and actually during the NetSafe weeks, actually start trying to get the message out there about this happens.
Yeah.
So people get the idea, people understand how to remediate it, and then you actually bring up the fact that they've been in it, or initially provide them with mechanisms like go to Have I Been Pwned and do it themselves when they're sort of in control and could see. Because the other thing, we go Have a Pwned, of course, it tells you the sites and which breaches it was, and it just provides that little bit more information and just helps them through the process. Yeah. And people are going out and doing it themselves, so they're more, most probably more ready to actually handle the information than rather just going, oh my God, your email's been in a breach.
Yeah, yeah. Tough. I'm glad I'm not the person involved in deciding what emails to send, though. So I can say that. What else is there there? Equifax. These two ones are quite similar, actually. Equifax, more like Equihaxed, was fined £500,000.
Yeah, it wasn't particularly structurally unsound. I was trying to get struts into structurally.
Oh, gotcha. That was a red line again.
Unsound, yeah.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, it was a red line. Structurally unsound. Yeah, good one. I get it now. That was tough to get to start with, but yes. Yeah, so the regulators in the UK, of course, no one else has regulators. No one, well, they have regulators.
With the UK's got some very strong, well, actually Europe has very strong stuff about data breaches and being able to find them and basically holding places accountable for data breaches. I think the UK's possibly the strongest.
Yeah, because now that I think about it, the...
Because they did TalkTalk a few years back quite strongly as well.
Yeah.
Which was a cell phone company over there.
Australia has mandatory reporting laws, but no... If they report a breach, they don't get fined. It's only, they get fined if they don't report it.
Yeah, right? So, but until that comes up, I think there's also some issues about you only need to report it if there is a particular level of harm, and then the fact that that has... That level has not been defined in the courts. No one actually knows where that bar sits.
Yeah, there's definitely some weaseling that can go on there. But, I mean, it's... I'm going to guess it's better than nothing. Don't quote me on that, but it's probably better than nothing.
It's better than nothing. And, oh, I've lost my thought. I was just about to
say... We don't have anything like that in New Zealand, though, do we?
No, there's no...
No mandatory breach.
And I don't even think our new privacy bill has actually got some holes in it as well. It's not actually... It's not covering the stuff that I think we think that should be seen.
Yeah. If your law... If your requirements are like, you can't do this and the punishment is nothing, then you don't really have a law there.
Yeah, and also a lot of businesses don't understand what it is because you see they have a breach and they're quite quick to say there was no credit card data.
Yeah, yeah, that one always gets me. Yeah, it's only usernames, passwords, social security numbers, date of birth.
All the shit you can't actually change.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yes, credit card is annoying.
But yeah, on the grand scale of things.
I can get a new credit card.
Yeah, I think
if someone does identity theft, it's really difficult to get a new date of birth, some new fingerprints, a new social security or IID number. That's difficult, right?
I think it's because people get money. They're like, my money was stolen. It's the equivalent of my chair was stolen. Whereas if someone breaks into your house and they steal nothing, it's like, or if you know they, I don't know, it's less...
It's tangible versus intangible. Yeah, it's
like, people are like, well, what are they going to do if they have my username and password? And the answer is, you don't know. If they've stolen your money, okay, you know what someone's going to do with a credit card. Yeah. What are they going to do with the username and password? Whatever the hell they want. They could target the place you work. They could target your school. They could target your online accounts. Like, it's just, it's harder.
Yeah, yeah, and I think of all that, Equifax got find £500,000.
That's a decent chunk. Though, that being said, Equifax's income, I'm guessing they can shave that profit off. That's profit.
That's most probably a rounding error somewhere. And
yeah, that they can. They can,
yeah, and them. Also, and New Zealand's privacy commissioner sort of comes out on Twitter and goes, under New Zealand's current and that with the privacy bill that's currently going through the legislative process, the maximum fine that I could sort of charge them for is a big round number of $0.
Yeah.
A multiple of 10.
Yeah, it is. Oh, 10
times
10.
Zero, yeah. You don't normally say zero as a factor.
Well, that's the difference between you and me, Dave. I'm willing to be pedantic. I'm actually not sure if it is, like, when it comes down to the definitions, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yahoo was also, Yahoo finally settled some of the, this was like 2014, 2016? 20 something, they lost.
They've been hacked too many times to know which one it's actually in reference to.
I believe this was the big Yahoo one, which is the one that eventually got made public. They've finally like settled all of the legal proceedings around that, and I believe they were forced to pay $60 million, which is a damn sight smaller than £500,000. That being said, Yahoo makes nothing now. Like, there's the Alibaba part of it, but Yahoo themselves, yeah. So, meh. Now, we've got one last story here. And this one, I think this actually broke on Friday.
Our time has gone quite well.
It is going pretty good. This one actually broke on Friday, I think. So this one's, someone did a little post about Alpine Linux, which is often used for Docker. So if you're using a Docker image, I highly suggest you update your Alpines. The bug basically is that it downloads the APK files over HTTP, which that's pretty common, and I think it's there are some circumstances in which it's hard to change, but nonetheless you should probably use HTTPS. Downloads the APK, unpacks it, verifies the signature. If the signature did not match, delete it. But there is a small catch. When it unpacks it, there's kind of like some symlinky tricks you can do to create a symlink that when it tries to delete it, it tries to do like a delete the directory, or like it tries to do delete where the symlink resolves to, which succeeds, and then it does like delete the directory the symlink was in, fails because it's not empty. And then when that is like wrapped up, because it kind of fails, it then the directory was like a execute this code when you're done. And so it ends up being RCE. It was like a nifty little thing, like to go from kind of like, yeah, like unpacking to a place you shouldn't, you know, not actually cleaning out probably when you delete. There was also like a thing where APK by default or apt, well, the unpacker or whatever that it is, returns by default the number of packages that failed to install successfully. If it's not zero, the entire Docker stack would fail. So he needed to like run code which used like proc self mem and rewrote like its own executable program code live on the fly to return zero. It was
awesome.
Pretty nifty. Yeah, that part of it, I was like, because he was like, yeah, I didn't think this would work, but it did. It was great. There was also a bug where it would overflow as well. So if you failed to install 255 packages, that's good. That's zero. Just overflows. Works.
Oh, that's quite clever as well then.
Yeah. Though presumably someone installing 255 packages over Docker is...
But then again, if it does dependencies, right, you make your thing depend on like 255 other things.
Yeah, you might be able to.
Because I always try and install the dependencies first.
Yeah, that's right. I guess about how does it read the dependencies? Because that might be in like the apt cache file rather than the apt.
Because isn't a lot of because it's in the metadata quite often the dependencies.
Yeah, if it's there, you'd better do it. I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I honestly am not super. I have not looked into this package much. Anyway, yeah.
And it sounds like I remember Metalit and Isaac a few years back talking about sort of some tar exploits when you can untar stuff. That was the BSD tar opposed to the GNU part.
That was some symlinky stuff.
Yeah, some symlinky stuff. And I think he was also ending up in proc as well to on write to do some stuff as well.
Yeah, I remember that when it came out a few years ago. It was pretty sweet. Symlinks, man, crazy stuff. Get you some hacks. In any case, I think we are done for this evening.
Yep, so we had 7.5 red light runners and 8 ASB violations.
Yeah, I said 5-5, you said 3-6. So we're even.
We're all winners.
All winners here today. I presume Hugh shall be back next week.
Yes, if he's not. Yeah.
If he's not having a party.
More important things than the bus factor.
Going to a barbecue. He's probably not even listening anymore. What a loser.
Yeah, come on. If you're still listening, write a message in the chat right now. What's the delay like at the moment?
I have no idea what the delay is like, actually. Probably like 30 seconds.
So we've got to give Kia a little bit of time because there's delays going on.
I don't think he's here.
I don't think he's here. So I think he's actually totally abandoned us. He's not even watching it at home.
Damn. We'll have to make him watch it later. It can be a Saturday. Nonetheless, we shall hopefully be back next week. Thank you for being on the show, Dave.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll see you all next week.
See you later.